Atamariye, a reading from Isaiah, chapter 60, beginning at verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. Whakaronga ki te kupu ata wai rua ki te hahi. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
We now have our psalm, which for this morning is Psalm 72, verses 1 to 7 and 10 to 15, and you'll find this on page 277 in the prayer book. And we'll say this, these verses responsively. So Psalm 72, page 277. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to a king's son. Your people rightly, and uphold the poor with justice. Let the mountains bring forth peace for the people, and the hills prosperity with justice. Defend the cause of the poor among the people, save the children of the needy, and crush the oppressors. May he live as long as the sun endures, as long as the moon from age to age. Earth. In his days may righteousness flourish, an abundance of peace till the moon is no more.
May his glory extend from sea to sea, and from the rivers to the ends of the earth.
And verse 10, may the king of Tarshish and the isles pay tribute, the kings of Sheba and Seba bring their gifts.
May all kings fall prostrate before him,
and all nations render him service. He should deliver the needy when they cry, and the poor who have no helper.
He shall
the poor. He shall rescue them from oppression and violence, and their blood shall be precious in his sight.
May
the king live and receive gifts of gold from Sheba. May prayers be made for him continually, and may people bless him every day. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. We have our second hymn now, Of the Father's Love Begotten.
Thank you. Gospel reading.
Te rongo pai tapu ki te ritina a Matthew. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star which they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Faka moimititia ya te kupu mana. This is the Gospel of Christ.
Praise to Christ.
There we go.
Okay. So, Bruce, are you a child of God?
I certainly am.
Well, would you like to come up and help us with this?
I'm probably the youngest here, so...
Yes. Just a minute, we're going to round up a few others, too. Is someone here who's of a shorter stature? Would you like to come up and help us? Okay, that's great. Yeah. Anyone else? Anyone? Oh, there's a little person over there. Would you like to come? Could you come with Mum or Grandma? Yeah. You're not alone, you know. Yeah. Come on, Bruce. And what about you, Wes? You're a child of God? Are you a child of God? Okay, well, come on then. Let's come up here and learn something. Children of God always like to learn things. And they... Can you sit on the floor?
I'm sure I can get down.
You should get down on the floor? You might need some help getting up.
Get up again.
Okay, this is wonderful. This is great. Okay. Oof. And what's your name?
DJ.
DJ? And what's your name? Okay. Well... So today is a special day in the calendar of the church. We often have special days. We had a very special day recently. What was that? DJ? Do you remember? You don't know? Christmas? Yeah. And what did we do on Christmas? Did we eat lots of food?
No.
No. Well, that's a good idea. I don't think Jesus ate lots of food on his Christmas. Hmm. What about Owen? And what did you do for Christmas? You bought a new Christmas tree. Now, that's wonderful.
Oh, we just had a Christmas tree.
You had one too? Did you help decorate it? Were you allowed to put some decorations on? I always have some really old decorations that I put on the bottom because my cats like to play with them, you see. And I don't like the big ones to get broken. So there's plenty of room in my Christmas tree for...
We have some old ones.
You have some old ones? Do you like putting them on? Have they got memories for you? Yeah. I tell you a secret. I've got some old ones. Oh, you've got cats on your shirt. That's wonderful. I have some old ones that my mother brought to New Zealand from Canada in 1946. And I put them on my tree and I put them way up so that no cat can reach them. But they're very special to me. Do you? Okay.
And also the cat doesn't go and play with
me. The cat doesn't? You've got...
Well, my cat doesn't.
Your cat. You've obviously trained your cat very well, and that's a very difficult thing to do. Yeah.
I trained her.
Yeah.
And she didn't listen.
She didn't listen. But if she doesn't play with the toys, she's fine. That's great. Lovely cat. So what I'm going to teach you about today or ask you about today is a special word that we use in the church. And there's lots of churchy words that we use, but that doesn't mean that we can't understand them. So this word is epiphany. Have you ever heard that word?
No.
No? What about you, Unwin? Have you ever heard that word? Epiphany? You got to kind of almost spit it out. Epiphany. Epiphany is a word that's used a lot even in outside the church. And epiphany means aha. It means so what? And it's the word that comes to you when you've suddenly got an idea. You're thinking about something. You're thinking about how could we do this? What do we need to do about that? Why did that happen? And all of a sudden, aha, you get an epiphany. And you get an idea of what that of that answer to your question. Has that ever happened to you, DJ? Yeah? Yeah, you've got a bright head inside there, I think. Yeah, yeah, you got lots of good things. What about Wes? Have you ever come across a bright idea that's suddenly come upon you?
I've had plenty.
I should imagine that taking care of this church, you would have to have plenty. I think we need lots of bright ideas around the place, don't we? What about you, Suzanne? Have you had some bright ideas? That comes with the grey hair, I'm afraid. Yes, yes, yeah.
And mine goes too quick.
Yours goes too quick? Okay. Well, one of the things that, you know, that small people have a big responsibility in the church. And one of those responsibilities, one of those jobs that you have to do is remind us that if we think long and hard enough, we will get a good idea. And one of the places that those good ideas come from is who? Who would give you a good idea?
Not anyone.
Not anyone? Not your mum or your dad?
No.
No?
I don't have a dad.
You don't have a dad. Okay, that's all right.
But only a mum.
Only a mum. Well, she'll have to. She's good enough for both, I imagine.
Lucky. Yeah,
she is. You're lucky to have such a lovely mum. So, what about you?
And also, she puts her... No, she doesn't make nothing or do anything.
She does. Of course she does. She takes care of you. She takes care of you.
Well, she doesn't do anything.
Oh, well. Well, I don't do much either, so that's all right.
What?
Yeah. Anyway. So, Bruce, who do you think might give you a good idea every once in a while?
Oh, I think God's Spirit sometimes slips a good idea.
Into the head? Yeah, yeah. Did you ever read those comic books when we were young? And they used to have these little bubbles over their heads that they had the talking all along. And all of a sudden there would be a light bulb. Yes. And that meant epiphany, aha, eureka, all those good things, yes. So what was the eureka that we hear about today, do you think?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Yep.
Well, maybe that's what we're going to find out when I blather on a bit more to everybody, eh? Okay? I'll tell you about this eureka that God gave. And it has to do with Christmas, but more importantly, it has to do with what happened after Christmas. Okay? So thank you very much. Do you want to go back to your families now? That would be good. And someone wants to go back to play with the toys? That would be nice. Thanks, guys. I have here my floppy Bible. A floppy Bible is always a good crutch to have to hold you up in the appropriate times. So today is the day of the Epiphany. And when Mark asked me if I would preach on behalf of St. Andrew's, because this is the second Sunday and I usually preach the second Sunday, I said, I'll do that if you let me do Epiphany. And he said, oh, don't we normally do Epiphany? And I said, I don't think so. And he said, okay, we'll do Epiphany then. So here we are in Epiphany. And Epiphany is one of my favorite Sundays or days. First of all, because it's the Orthodox Christmas. If you know any Orthodox friends, you know, Ukrainians or Russians or Greeks, they will have celebrated Christmas this past week. And there was a lovely Orthodox family in my former parish, and so I always got a second Christmas meal every year going to them for their Ukrainian Christmas pierogies and things like that that were cabbage rolls, all sorts of wonderful things. Christmas we know about and we remember about, and there's all sorts of images we have about Christmas. Christmas has to do with a baby being born in a stable. It has to do with shepherds. It has to do with a young girl, Mary, and her husband Joseph, who didn't really know how to handle the situation until God spoke to him. And we have lots of images, lots of carols that we sing, lots of pictures that we have. Epiphany? Not so much. But what's the picture for Epiphany? Well, I'll give you one. The picture for Epiphany, the image that shines through Epiphany, is light. God's light. We also think of that in the way of being as being God's glory. Glory and light. So Isaiah, in his passage today, is talking to a ragtag bunch of people who just made their way back to the land of milk and honey, back to Canaan, from Babylon. They had been in Babylon for generations. They had been in exile there. They had been kidnapped and taken away from their home, and they were so linked to their home, to their land, that this was a really major uplift, a major trauma for them. And in those several generations where they spent time in Babylon, many of them intermarried with other people from Babylon, and some of them left and became and went off into the diaspora around the Mediterranean. And so they became a scattered community, and their identity was severely tested throughout that. So they were living in what Isaiah calls deep darkness. You've been there. Times when it feels like you're sort of wading through something and you just can't get out. Times when things overwhelm you and you can't see an end to it. And in the midst of all of this, Isaiah says, arise, get up, you guys. Shine, for your light has come. Your light has come. This is not a light that they've generated in themselves. This is a light which has come from Yahweh, from God. And he has given them a light. Something by which they can see the way forward. He hasn't taken them out of that darkness yet, but he's given them a light so that they can move through that darkness and come out the other end. See, even the train agrees. So he has given them a light, and so your light means the light that Yahweh has given them. But they are encouraged in Isaiah's words to hold fast to that light, to let that light overwhelm them, overcome them, surround them, restore them. That's a word that they wanted to hear about, because they wanted to be restored back to being the people of the land. And they wanted to be restored again to being God's chosen people. And the light is what will enable them to do that. But there's another meaning of the word, your light. Because when they allow that light to seep through them, when they allow that light to work through them and transform them, then they have that light, and that light shines out to others. So it becomes the light of the people. The light given to the people, but then the people themselves become the light to others. And this is an image which we can hold fast to as an image of our own Christian journey, where we allow God to enlighten us, to transform us, to restore us to the way we were meant to be, to take out all that shitty stuff, that dark stuff, that dirty stuff that accumulates over time, and to make it into something that is light, that is enlightening, which is bringing understanding and news to the people, to spread the gospel. So then Matthew gives us this story about three sages, three magi, three wise guys who come from the east. Now, they were astronomers, and they studied the stars. And that was, in fact, a major scientific discipline in those days. They didn't know a lot about chemistry or biology or physics as we know science, but there were stars, and they studied the stars, and they gathered data about the stars. And they knew that something was happening, that there was going to be a super star, if you like. And I'm not going to use any astronomical terms because I don't know what they are, but I think you can hear me say that they knew something was big was going to happen. They had also heard about the story from the Israelites, from the Hebrew people. They knew that the Hebrew people were waiting for a Messiah. They were waiting for a major event. Some event that was going to turn the world upside down. And that event was going to be signified by a movement in the heavens, in the stars, in the cosmos. The birth of this child, this little baby lying in a manger, surrounded by sheep and goats and smelly animals, it was a cosmic event. Our God is the God of the universe, not just of the earth. And he has, in this event of transformation, of the possibility of redemption for the whole world, for the whole creation, this is a cosmic event. We have made it into something very human. And that's important for us, because we have to understand that this cosmic event is not something that is beyond us and that we can never touch. It is here. It is here with us. It is here in the birth of a baby. It is here in the life of a historic person. So that's an important part of it. But it's also important for us to remember that it's part of the cosmic journey, that it's part of the creation story, that the creation story is being brought into redemption, is being recreated in this event of this birth of this baby and who becomes Jesus, our Redeemer, the one who saves us. So these sages, these magi is the Greek word, sages, whatever you want to call them, wise guys is what I think of them as, and we have lots of images of them. We talk about the three kings, for example, and they would have been indeed leaders in their world because their world was very focused on science. Science was a very important part of their world. We have to investigate the world around us, and these guys did that. These three kings, leaders, sages, magi, traveled from afar to journey to the light, because they knew that that light was coming into the world and was going to change the world and change their world as well as the world of the Jews. We too journey towards the light in our life. We do not keep away from the light. We are not afraid of being in the light, because we know that in journeying towards the light, we have Jesus beside us. Not in front of us to pull us along, not behind us to push, but beside us to hold us up when we need it, to keep us going. One of the reasons why I'm sitting down is because I need two new hips. I've already got new knees. I need new hips. And I can't stand for very long, so that's why I'm preaching from here. I know that after I get either one of those two hips, we have to go through it twice. Whenever I need that, I'm going to need help to be able to walk. And I'm very thankful that I'm going to have some physio-terrorists, as I call them, standing beside me and helping me to keep my balance as I learn how to walk again. That's what Jesus does. He helps us to walk towards the light. He encourages us. He enlightens us. He upholds us. These sages are not Jews. They are not the people chosen by God. They are Gentiles. And yet they have this sincere, this persistent search for the baby. They keep at it, going across deserts, finding it difficult. They really are earnest in their search. And we too must earnestly search for that light which will enlighten our lives. The other thing is that they are not guided by any human identity. Few those of you who are traveling off during the holiday season, you've probably picked out where you're going to go and you've got your route all sorted out. You've made human decisions. These sages have been guided by God. Guided by the light, the star. And so we ask God for guidance in terms of where we are going. And we hope that that guidance, we know that that guidance will come from God, and we just hope that we are able to perceive it in our own lives. So we keep our eyes open. As Christopher prayed, we hope to see God in every minute of our day today. We hope to see God present and not miss him, because we're busy doing our own things. And then when they get there, of course, there's great joy, and they give him presents which signify the importance of this baby to the world, the salvation of the world. So when we bring ourselves to the light, as we need to do, as we bring ourselves to the light and we allow the light to overcome us, we allow the light to transform us. We allow the light to fill us with the shalom, which is not just peace, but the well-being. I think the Maori idea of ki ora, be well. That's a greeting that they have, and that tells us what God wants us to have from this light. We are supposed to gain aura, health, well-being from the light. Requires an openness, requires a searching on our part, requires a desire to be enlightened and not to hide away with what we've always known and always done, but to be open to something new. It tells us that God is in fact bigger than us. Why? Because he's not limited to just the Jews. In those days, each group of people had their own God or gods. And the Jews had Yahweh. But Yahweh and Jesus, the Messiah, were not there just for the Jews. They were there for the Gentiles, for all who seek for God, all who search for the light, all who are open to being transformed by God's love and God's peace and God's shalom. The light has come into the world. Take hold of it. Take hold of its shalom and let it shine forth from you so that the gospel message may reach out to the world. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Dallas, for that message. May God guide us all during this new year, which we're embarking upon. Would you like to stand, please, and for the affirmation of faith, which is on page 481. Page 481. You, O God, are supreme and holy. You create our world and give us life. Your purpose overarches everything we do. You have always been with us. You are God. You, O God, are infinitely generous, good beyond all measure. You came to us before we came to you. You have revealed and proved your love for us in Jesus Christ, who lived and died and rose again. You are with us now. You are God. You, O God, are Holy Spirit. You empower us to be your gospel in the world. You reconcile and heal. You overcome death. You are our God. We worship you. Let us pray for the church and for the world, giving thanks for God's goodness. Please sit or kneel. Our prayers this morning are used the second form on page 416. So if you turn to page 416, please. After each section, there will be a short period of silence for you to add your own silent prayers to this general bidding. God of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ, you promise to hear us when we pray to you in faith with thanksgiving. We pray for one another, for our families and friends, through whom we learn to love and to be loved. Thank you for all who care for us. Give us grace to serve Christ by serving our neighbors and our community, loving others as he loves us. We thank you for the unfailing love you hold out to everyone in Jesus Christ. Comfort and heal those in sorrow, need, sickness, or any other trouble. Give them courage and hope in their distress, and bless those who minister to them. This time we pray for the Ukraine. Father God, King of all nations, we cry out to you now for the people of the Ukraine. We ask you to rescue those who are vulnerable from the hands of their enemies, that they may live without fear all their days. Amen. We remember with gratitude your many gifts to us in creation and the rich heritage of these islands. Help us and people everywhere to share with justice and peace the resources of the earth. Give wisdom to those in authority among us and to all leaders of the nations. We pray for your church throughout the world, thanking you for all who serve Christ and his kingdom. By your Spirit, strengthen your people for their work and witness in the world. Unite us in your truth and love, that we who confess your name may also reflect your glory. We remember with thanksgiving all who have died in Christ, and we rejoice at the faithful witness of your saints in every age, praying that we may enter with them into the unending joy of your heavenly kingdom. Merciful God, you look with compassion on all who turn to you. Hear the prayers of your people. Grant that what we have asked in faith, we may by your grace receive, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now to God, who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or conceive, by the power which is at work among us, be glory in the Church and in Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Amen. And as Christ teaches us, we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. The kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.